Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to sincerely celebrate Mama for the privilege to be here to speak to us. Can we please, in the spirit of honor, celebrate our mother, Mommy Christy Uche. Can you please celebrate her for the lives that have been transformed, for the blessings of heaven that has rained on families. Can you go ahead and celebrate her? 40 years is not 40 days. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mama, for the privilege to be here to speak to God's people. When I'm invited to speak in the gathering of mothers, I'm usually very excited because some of the purest blessings you receive from the heart of mothers. And so when I come to gatherings like this, I know I will live with a blessing. And this will not be an exception. In the name of Jesus. Let's just talk to the Lord for 1 minute and honor Him. Appreciate the Lord for how far He's led us. Precious Father, we thank You for the privilege. We thank You for the honor. We thank You for the honor of knowing You, of being called into the fellowship of the Spirit. Father, we ask that You open our understanding even tonight. Invigorate us, empower us by Your Spirit, and bring us to that point where we become able ministers of the New Testament. Help us, precious Redeemer, to be true witnesses indeed of Your life and of Your kingdom. Have Your way even in this short time. Let hearts be touched. Let eyes be opened. Let empowerment be granted. And let men be changed and transformed even by Your Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. You may be seated. I'm aware we've been here since morning. And so I won't take too long. I just came in from Lagos, actually. I thought it was an evening meeting. Until they told me, no, my session was for about 2 o'clock. So I had to quickly reshuffle myself to be here. And I know time is already far spent. So I would, in 1 hour, God will minister to us, and I believe there will be a change in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you help me touch some chords? I'll begin by talking briefly on our theme. Since we have more of tomorrow, I'll do more of the ministrations in the spirit tomorrow. But for tonight or this evening, I just want to speak briefly on the theme, the outpouring. Just to, by the Spirit, help us to understand and to relate more experientially with the subject. Our world is evil. We're in an evil age. If you study the scripture in Galatians chapter 1, from verse 3 to verse 4, the Bible speaking to us, and it told us one of the reasons Jesus died was to deliver us from this evil age. One of the major reasons He said, grace be to you and peace from our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of the Father. This world is evil. If you look around you, even in the natural, you will be able to tell that it takes a lot of momentum, spiritual momentum and positive energy to engender good. Evil thrives naturally. If you look around you, for example, plants that you don't nurture, the moment they are called grasses, they blossom. But when you call it a flower, the moment it is designed to bring beauty, it dies. If it is supposed to be for food, it dies. The ones that does not add value to your existence on their own naturally blossom. You don't need to add fertilizer to grass for it to grow and prosper. Sometimes grasses strive to grow even when there is cement and concrete. But when you plant something that you should eat, you will need to add manure, add fertilizer, weed grasses, and labor for it to prosper. When you plant a flower, the moment the sun comes up, it dies. Unless you keep nurturing it. So, this age does not support good. It's an evil age. And so, one of the strategies that God made available for us, the children of light, in order to prosper, darkness notwithstanding, is the technology of the outpouring of the Spirit. Because we are not hopeless. If there were no spiritual advantages, we would have been doomed because the world is evil. But there are advantages that makes for our progress, evil notwithstanding. In John chapter 1 verse 4, the Bible said, the light shines in the darkness. So darkness's presence does not stop our prosperity because we have a superior technology to evil. He said, the light shines in the darkness. And he said, the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 5. The darkness does not have the power to comprehend light. But there is a technology you must subscribe to for your light to shine. If you study Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1, it said, arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the reason he said so is because he said, darkness will cover the earth. And he said, gross darkness, the people. So in case you are not aware that there are demonic and invincible forces that want to destroy you, welcome to this realization. Because the Bible paints it in white and black that the earth will be covered with darkness. And he said, upon the people, it's not just darkness. He said, it is gross darkness. And so when you find retardation, when you find sickness, when you find reproach, when you find bad luck, when you find evil, they are all definitions of darkness. But even in the midst of that darkness, he said, arise and shine, because your light is come. And so this is not supposed to be a threat to the believer. This is supposed to be an assurance beyond doubt that whatever it is happening around you, there is a hope on the inside. Even if you don't have what to eat, even if you were sick, even if they told you are dying, it said, even in the midst of gross darkness, there's a possibility to arise because your light is come. And so the outpouring of the Spirit is one of the lights that God makes available. Because when it speaks of light in the spiritual context, it's not just talking illumination. It's talking about possibilities that holds the power to turn your circumstances around. Anything that makes you go backward is darkness. Darkness in the Spirit is not light out. Darkness in the Spirit are forces that reduce the quality of your existence. And so anything that comes to improve the quality of your existence in the Spirit is called light. And one of such lights in the Spirit is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 32 from verse 13 to 15. The Bible gave us a scenario. Because you see, it doesn't matter where you are now. It matters what you carry. Because life may look glorious now. Tomorrow may come with trials. Life may look difficult now. Tomorrow can be glorious. So what you are going through now is not the factor. The factor is what do you carry? Because if life is glorious now and attacks come tomorrow, what will you do? The glory of life is not what you carry, not where you are at the moment. It's what you carry. The power to defy circumstances, whether good or bad, you keep ascending. That's the glory of life. But there is something you must carry to be able to live life like that. The people you see blossoming, they are not blossoming because there are no challenges. They are blossoming because they have something that, whether good or evil, they know how to ascend. They know how to arise. They know how to shine. And so this scripture revealed to us that life will throw arrows, shades, and different things at you. But you are not hopeless if you know how to tap into the technology of the outpouring. It said, upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars. This is the land of the people of God. It was a land promised them. It was a land that was supposed to flow with milk and honey. Have you seen people before? At least I heard a testimony of a woman who was doing well until the husband died. Because that's how life, that's the shade life brings at you. It tries to take away the things that are your advantage. But if you know how to receive the outpouring, it doesn't matter what happens. The devil can throw arrows at you. You will bounce back and more glorious. He said, the land of my people. Remember, the Bible spoke of this land as a land flowing with milk and honey. But suddenly, he said, out of this land, he said, they shall grow thorns and briars. And they say, upon all the houses of joy and upon the houses of joyous city. See what will happen to those houses. A house that was full of joy, a house that was full of glory. It says, suddenly the palaces shall be forsaken. It said, the multitude of the city shall be left. It said, the forts and the towers shall be for dens, and joy for white asses, and pastures for flock. Suddenly, a glorious land turned into a land of desolation, as if all hopes are lost. And then in verse 15, he said, until the Spirit be poured again upon us from on high. Then, he said, the wilderness shall be turned to a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall become a forest. So it doesn't matter what the situation is. A glorious situation can be turned to evil. But if you are under the technology of the outpouring, no matter the evil that comes your way, the outpouring sustains the capacity to alter the situation and turn it out for good. And so when we talk about the outpouring, the first thing we are referring to is fruitfulness, even in the place of drought. Because in the wilderness, a forest can emerge. It doesn't matter what the devil calls your situation. When the outpouring begins to happen, a wilderness can become a forest. And so the outpouring speaks of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness that cannot be truncated. Men can prosper in an evil age only if there's an outpouring of the Spirit upon their lives. No matter the ups and downs that comes, you will keep ascending in fruitfulness. Not because you know the president. No. Not because you know the governor. No. Not because you have a good business. No. Even that business, the devil can attack it. The reason you will be fruitful is because the Spirit is poured upon you from on high. Many are not aware. You know what I want to share with us tonight is the protocol of the outpouring. What you need to do to keep the outpouring perpetually. But it's important for you to understand first what the outpouring has the power and the potential to bring to pass in your life. I am a very young man, but I've seen a lot of fluctuations in life. And I know you can't depend on anything except God. I have seen the glorious and the mighty fall like a pack of cards. It will only take a continuous outpouring of the Spirit to keep you in a glorious realm, regardless of the challenges that come your way. And so the outpouring is the spiritual protocol for fruitfulness.
The second thing about the outpouring is that the outpouring is God's system of upgrading your life. Every one of us here needs continuous and productive upgrade. Periodic, consistent, and progressive upgrade. If there's no upgrade in your life, a challenge can come and pull you down. And so the outpouring affects your environment by bringing fruitfulness. But over and above your environment, the outpouring upgrades you, yourself. The quality of your being is upgraded. Because many times, your environment can be defined. But if you are upgraded, nothing can affect you. A billionaire once lost all his wealth in one day. And that same evening, they found him playing golf. And they told him, why are you able to play golf in a day that you lost billions of dollars? And the man made a statement. He said, I made the money. The money didn't make me. So long as I remain alive, I will make more. That's a man who has an upgraded life. His circumstances don't define him. And so the outpouring comes to affect your circumstances. But over and above your circumstance, the outpouring comes to improve you. This is why fishermen became so wise, that their speakings today are being studied in schools of theology by professors, and they are not yet able to exhaust it. Hope you know, Peter, James, and John were ordinary fishermen. But when the outpouring came upon them, they became wiser than their generation. Till date, they are studying the writings of Peter in schools of theology, and people are gaining bachelor's degree in theology by reading Petrine epistles. An illiterate fisherman suddenly got into an upgraded version of himself, that the things he spoke is the basis for which men are made professors 2,000 years later. His words could not be exhausted because of the wisdom that he entered upon the Holy Ghost coming on him. The outpouring upgrades the quality of your environment, but over and above that, the outpouring upgrades your life. And your life upgraded is a superior insurance to your environment upgraded, because your life regulates your environment. And so the outpouring does not just affect your environment, it affects you. I made that statement to let you know that you may not even be well educated. When God upgrades you, you will have more wisdom than a professor in the university. And the things that will come out of your life, even a professor will not be able to achieve it. This is not to talk down on education, but they are superior knowledge than certificate. A man's life is superior to a piece of paper. It is the wisdom at work in him that defines the level of impact he makes in a generation. So the second thing the outpouring does is to upgrade the quality of your existence. The third thing the outpouring ensures to do is to make sure everybody is affected. In Joel chapter 2 verse 28, the Bible said, and in those days, he said, it shall come to pass afterwards that my spirit will be poured upon all flesh. And he said, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. He said, your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see vision. And so when the outpouring comes, nobody is left out. It is only the technology of the outpouring that God ensures that everybody is blessed. Hope you remember when it happened in the upper room. The Bible said there were cloven tongues as of fire upon the heads of every man. He said, ask of me rain in the time of the latter rain. He said, I will cause bright clouds and I will cause rain to fall on every blade of grass. So when the outpouring comes, there's an insurance for everybody, because the outpouring insists that everybody must be included. Because this is the season of outpouring, I decree over every head here, both on ground and online, no one shall be exempted. That's why we speak about operations of the spirit like this, that has the power to affect your environment, that has the power to upgrade your life, and that has the power to include and involve everybody. It is only in the situation of an outpouring that nobody is exempted, whether literate or illiterate, whether young or old, whether male or female. The outpouring insists that there's a measure for everybody. every one of you under the sound of my voice. There's a measure for you tonight, and I decree over your life, your wilderness is turned to a fruitful field, and your fruitful field is counted for a forest. I decree over your life, everywhere you have limitations, your life is upgraded by the Spirit.
Thank you, Father. When I start talking about the operations of the outpouring tomorrow, then I can minister in the Spirit. Tonight is just to show you how to engender an outpouring, because the outpouring does not come without requirements. There's always a protocol. And that's why when I talk about the operations tomorrow, I will talk a bit about Gethsemane. The forces that provokes an outpouring. Because of what the outpouring is capable of doing, there is a protocol so that those who have it are worthy of it. When the outpouring comes, it affects a dispensation. It affects a generation. It affects everybody around that atmosphere. And so it's not something God can throw around carelessly. There's a protocol for engendering an outpouring. And there are five of them I will list to you very quickly. If you know this, blessed are you. Because you can provoke some measures of outpouring in your own house. You can provoke some measures of outpouring in your business. I know this thing by experience. We didn't start doing what we are doing because we are lucky. We are not doing what we are doing because people love us. We are doing what we are doing because there is a power that insists we must do it. If it were for men, we would have been buried by now. This man talking to you is talking to you in the midst of warfare. People are expecting you to go down. People are expecting you to be destroyed out of bitterness, insecurity, and wickedness of the heart. But because there is a backing of the Spirit, even if a whole generation turns against you, you keep going forward and they can't stop it. That's where God wants believers to operate from. Do you think people care that you are making impact? Do you think people care that you are blessing people? Thousands of souls being won into the kingdom every day. Widows being fed. Lives being transformed. I can't tell you about bandits that come to repent, crying because of the messages they hear. But wicked men who still think only about themselves wish you to go down. And they are doing everything possible to pull you down. You think if the Holy Ghost does not back you, you will stand for one day. I speak over the life of somebody today. Every force ganged up against you for your destruction, in your own very sight, they will go down. You don't know why we need an outpouring. Our world is wicked. If you know what men cook and gang up to say and do against you, you will be shocked. Demons are ganging up. Men are ganging up. And in the spirit of justice, you did nothing to them. It's just ego, pride, and their humanity. It won't let them see you prosper. But they will lean and see you prosper. And there's nothing they can do about it. He said the light shines in the darkness. The darkness will not be reasonable to allow the light. That's why the light shines. The shining is the authority that light has over darkness. That's why you need an outpouring. And that's why you must understand how to provoke one. If God stopped moving on my life today, it won't take 1 week, I'll be buried. Because of the forces that have risen against me. He said, many are there that have risen up against me and said, there's no hope for me. He said, but thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. That's the secret of invincibility, that the Holy Ghost is constantly moving over your life. But there is a system that you must subscribe to keep the Holy Ghost moving on your life. It's the technology of the outpouring. The power that turns a wilderness to a fruitful field and a fruitful field to a forest. The power that improves the quality of your life and the power that makes sure everything around you prospers is the power called the outpouring of the Spirit. How do you engender an outpouring? Number one,
through discernment of times and seasons. Every outpouring has an allocation into God's calendar. There are times and there are seasons for outpouring. If you study this book we just read in Joel 2:28, it said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The same scripture was reiterated in Acts chapter 2. There is always a day apportioned to it. In fact, when you study Acts 2 from verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. There is always a day, there is always an appointment where provocations of the spirit takes place. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it said they were together in one accord, in one place. They knew that season was over them, and so they kept their antenna ready. The reason many never see outpouring is because when that season is right, they don't discern it. It is when the Holy Ghost wants to move that they are interested in their business. That's when they are interested in gossiping others. That's when they are carried about doing many things. And that season passes and they are not aware. He said, the sons of Isaac. He said, these men, they had understanding of times and seasons, and they knew what Israel ought to do. Every time is not the same. He said, at a certain time, the angel of the Lord went down and troubled the waters. A man who walks perpetually under an open heaven and the move of the Spirit is the man that knows when the Holy Ghost moves. His sensitivity, his antenna, and his discernment is sharp. But for your discernment to be sharp, you must be a man who is subject to the laws of the Spirit. Many times, we negate the promptings of the Holy Ghost. Listen, the best way the Holy Ghost speaks to us is through life. Life, so that nobody denies. Life is a technology in the Spirit. That's why when you give birth to a child, nobody teaches that child hunger. The child knows the meaning of hunger before reading books. When a child is born, that child knows exactly where food passes into the body. Nobody teaches the child that is a mouth that he should use to eat. He starts using the mouth to look for what to eat. Because life in itself is an educational syllabus. And so when the Holy Ghost wants to begin to teach you, the first teacher he uses is life. And the way life will operate, it operates through promptings, knowings, inspirations. And you will discover when the season of an outpouring comes, the Holy Ghost begins to prompt you. Sometimes it tells you to take a fast. Sometimes it tells you to take a retreat. Sometimes it begins to draw you away from many things. People who have spiritual intelligence knows that when such promptings begins to take place, it means the cloud are gathering in the Spirit. Because it's when the cloud is gathered that it empties itself upon the earth. But many believers are not sensitive to promptings, and so they have missed many outpourings. The first protocol of an outpouring is discerning of times and seasons. And such discernment comes through promptings and knowings of the Spirit. You are not weak. You have not just learned how to use your weapons. The Bible said we were fearfully and wonderfully made. We are a strange species. Even angels look at us with admiration. They marvel when they see us. Ephesians 3:10 said, the church is to teach the angels the manifold principalities, not just angels, the manifold wisdom of God. We are a strange species in the realm of God because of the things God has put in us. In fact, the Bible says that he pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in Christ bodily. And the Bible made us to understand that Christ is in every one of us. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That means the fullness of the Godhead dwells on your inside. There's no angel that carries that measure. We are a strange being. But the problem is that we are too sensitive of the outward. We are not sensitive of the inward. The world on your inside is bigger than the world on your outside. This is not about being a preacher. This is about being a spiritual person, because that's where your advantage lies. Many can't discern times. They can't discern seasons. And so they are running from place to place seeking help whereas they are supposed to be the help their world is looking for. He said, you are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. But for you to operate in that order, you must come alive in the spirit. And so the first protocol of the outpouring is the protocol of discernment. I pray for somebody here today, your spiritual sensitivity on account of this meeting will be awakened. It's only Christians that take things like this for granted. Witches, they know moments. Moments. Give one signal in the spirit, every witch is alert. They can pick those signals, pick those vibrations. They walk by signals. They are so secretive that you will not even find them gathered like this. They know how to pick the signal at night and know how to connect through teleporting to meet in their meeting grounds. Because everything in that realm is governed by secrecy. So every witch understands signals and movements. It's only a believer that even when you announce it, they can't pick it. That's why we are weak, whereas we should be the powerful ones. He said, I've seen an abomination on the face of the earth, that beggars are riding on horses, while princes are trekking, because they don't know the things that are meant for their advantage. As you leave this meeting, something will happen to your spirit. There's not one person listening to me today that will miss any spiritual moment. The second protocol of an outpouring is obedience. When God prompts you, He expects you to obey, because it will lead you to the location where the outpouring is to take place. And that location may not be natural. Sometimes that location is in the spirit, but it will take obedience for you to route it. Before the outpouring happened in Acts chapter 2, the Bible said in Luke 24:49, Jesus commanded them. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. He told them what to do, and he told them where to do it. If they tarried in Samaria, they would have missed the outpouring. The reason many people never come under the outpouring of the Spirit is their disobedience. Tarry, and don't just tarry. Tarry in Jerusalem. And they were wise. Even when Jesus resurrected and he met the disciples, he said, go and tell them and Peter to go to Jerusalem as I have told them. Because the outpouring is location sensitive and is moment sensitive. And so obedience is what routes you into the circumference where the outpouring takes place. In Proverbs chapter 1 verse 23, he said, if you hearken to my commandments, he said, I will pour my spirit upon you. So the outpouring is not for everybody. The outpouring is for those who are obedient. There are many apostles today who walk under a dry atmosphere. There are many prophets who walk under a dry atmosphere. It doesn't take title, it takes obedience. When your obedience is not complete, your operations will be dry. And if you are dry, demons will molest you. If you are dry, your world will deteriorate and disintegrate, because the energizing of the spirit will not be there. It takes obedience to walk into the atmosphere of the outpouring. Everywhere you find an outpouring, you have found a people obeying God. When there is disobedience, there can be no outpouring. The second protocol for an outpouring is obedience to the voice of God, the promptings of the Holy Ghost, and the leading of the Spirit. I'm showing you things that makes men invincible. Great men are the most attacked men. Great men are the most tested men. When you talk of trial, if you want to know the location of trials, go and find overcomers. The reason they are great, the reason they are overcomers, is because they subdue trials. If you don't overcome a trial, you can never be great. Many times, people who don't make impact, they think they face the greatest challenge. Most of you are testifying that you came to mommy. You should have waited for mommy to bring one of her problems to you. Then you will understand that the person who seems to be standing strong is the one who is fought the most. But the reason he's standing is because he or she knows things that others don't know. And he doesn't just know them, he obeys them. The key to a life of perpetual outpouring of the Spirit is perpetual obedience. When obedience becomes lacking, outpouring is cut off. That's why many revivals are truncated, because of the flesh and human propensities. Because when flesh arises, flesh rebels against the laws of God. You want to see God move in your life? You want to see perpetual outpourings in your life? Begin to obey God and see how God will overrun you like a river. Number three, protocol for outpourings is a heart posture. This is where many fail. You'll find them laboring in church all their life, but their heart is full of evil. All the gossips emanate from them. All the lies and backbiting emanate from them. And a man's utterances is a revelation of his heart posture. When you want to find out a man's heart posture, listen to what he says. They are trusting God to move in their lives, but they are the ones sowing all the seeds of discord. They go to A, they go to B, and all they are talking about is another person, and it's always in the negative light. And if they are not talking about it, they are listening to it, because they enjoy to hear the downfall of others. And if they don't know, it's a state of corruption of the heart. A man who cannot evangelize Jesus to 10 people in a month can speak against another person in a negative light to 100 people in a day, because his heart reflects who he really is. And so before God pours his Spirit upon you, there will always be a demand for heart circumcision. If there's no circumcision of the heart, there can never be an outpouring. In Acts chapter 2 verse 1 that we just read, the Bible said they were in one accord. Their heart was knitted as one. One accord is different from gathering together. What we have in this building is called gathering together. One accord is a state when our heart is one. We love ourselves genuinely and we look out for ourselves. Even when one falls, it's not a news, because there's no testimony in it. Rather, if one falls, those who are stronger, they lift him up. The Bible said to support and to bear the burden of one another, that we may fulfill the law of Christ. But when you find a people that are disconnected at heart and evil, they celebrate when one of them falls. In fact, it makes the best news headline. Even if the news is about to die down, they propagate it the more. If they've not heard about that matter again for some time, they will try to stir the dust, because they enjoy controversy. They enjoy when people are put down. That is why, even though the Holy Ghost wants to pour himself upon us, our heart will not let him. Somebody said the revival in Nigeria is 12 miles wide and 2 inches deep. Noise all over the place about revival. But when you come to a gathering of 3 people, you find evil and corruption. There's no love, there's no genuineness. Everybody talking mysteries and talking bogus things. Whereas all the evil emanate from among us. They say our revival is 12 miles wide but 2 inches deep, because Christ has not worked on us. The revivals we heard of and we read about, it's not about noise. It's not about a message. It's not about popularity. It's about transformation. That's why you hear revival hit a city, sin dies. We heard of the revival in Wales. How that even police, the number of uniformed personnel had to be reduced because there were no more criminals. That's a revival. A revival is not a message. A revival is a spirit of transformation that breaks men and brings them back to a place of true holiness. That when you touch them, you touch Christ. We have intelligent messages. We have kingdom messages, but we are not kingdom personalities. Fighting ourselves day and night, evil and corruption. You will be shocked that most of the evil you hear about men, it didn't come from outsiders. It came from the church, because that's where all the evil is. Whereas everybody is doing hours of prayer, preaching revival, prophesying revival, shouting revival. These hearts cannot host revival. That's why it is widespread but shallow in depth. Because the heart is evil. The heart is wrong. If this is what we call revival, we are joking. Because the generations past, they will not endorse this. Because what they call revival was more about transformation. It was more about purity. And that's why their own revival affected society. Today we call revival a large auditorium with thousands of people gathered, singing and dancing songs that emanated from the club. And when the same people go into the city the next day, you can't find Jesus. Most of the states in this country are Christian states. Thousands of people in church on Sunday go to the market on Monday, and you will find Jezebels, people who are colonized by Babylon. You will even be more secured trading with the sons of the bondwoman than trading with somebody who calls himself a Christian. And we are singing revival. We don't know revival. What we are doing is pursuit of ambition, just spreading our name all over the place. When true revival comes, we will find Christ in people. You need to see when three or four pastors gather, 70% of their discussion is about other people in derogatory notes. When we hear the news that something wrong happened to somebody, you need to see the joy in the camp when a brother is injured. And when they are not injured, we use witchcraft to pull them down. And we are talking revival. No, revival is a heart posture. Heart pourings have to do with heart posture. Heart. They said they were in one accord. Read the book of Acts of the Apostles. Many times, you either see one accord or singleness of heart. One accord, singleness of heart. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it said they went from house to house praising God in singleness of heart. And he said, God added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were one, their heart was pure. Their hearts were pure. People speaking capital letter tongues. And with pride in tongues. Tongues that don't transform. Tongues that only sound loud. And we are carrying them all about on phones. Messages that don't transform. Messages preached out of bitterness. When I have problem with you, I use that problem to preach. Bitterness. And people hear it, the more they hear it, the more corruption enter their heart. And we say we are preaching revival. Where is the purity? Where is the love that flows from a pure heart? That's why there are no outpourings. Because when outpourings comes, it's not just about population. It's not just about a sound message. It's about true repentance and brokenness. And so a heart posture is a basis that the Holy Ghost cannot negate if there must be an outpouring. Number four. Outpourings are provoked by prayer and waiting upon the Lord. When people genuinely want to see an outpouring, they give themselves to prayer. In Luke 24, 49 that we just read, he said, tarry. That word tarry is not just wait. It means wait, praying. Wait in the spirit. Because that is what stirs the heaven. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, he said, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. He said, I will hear them from heaven and I will pour out myself upon them and I will heal their land. We are a church today that loves comedy, that loves dancing and singing, but no praying. And most of the dancing and singing we are doing are picked from the world. Call a music artist today, he's dressed like a worldly musician because that's where they draw their inspiration from. I'm not saying dress like Moses and Elijah, but I'm saying a secular musician who does not have the spirit cannot inspire me. There is no modesty. The essence of the spirit is lacking. You see people bang the reigning hairstyle because they flow with the trends of society. And these things are mind controlling system. It's not about fashion. It's a spirit writing a program for a generation. I was sharing with them 2 weeks ago. Some 4 years back, every young man wanted to wear a white jean. Today, every young man is wearing a tight jean because the world dictates a trend that controls their minds, and that controlling system transmits demonic energy. And they don't just stop in the dressing. Most of the beats are secular beats. Nowadays, they can even play Christian songs in nightclubs because the beats are the same. You are hearing a beat, it doesn't edify the spirit of God in you. Edify you in the spirit of God, rather. You are hearing a beat, it doesn't provoke you into God's presence. You are hearing a beat, all you are thinking of is the same dance steps that they are dancing in the club, because that's where the vibration came from. And because we can't pray, we now look for what we take the time of service. And so when prayer becomes so lacking, we now import comedians in a live service to come and help us while away time with comedy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with comedy or comedians. They are Christian comedians, but comedy is not part of church service. When Christians gather together for other events, they can bring Christian comedians to make them laugh. Do that in a birthday party. Do that in any other meeting, get together you have to do. Not a service where you are coming to worship God. Because everything that happens in the service is God-word, so that God can pour himself upon us. We didn't come to service to be entertained. We came to service to worship a king. And that king did not invite a comedian. But when prayer is lacking, then we substitute things that helps us while away time. In the days of old, thank God our mamas here have been Christians for more than 40 years. Those days, vigil start from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And all they are doing is either word-oriented or prayer. They didn't even have all the advanced equipment we have here. But they could come for vigils, teach the word of God, and pray till morning. Today, when we have vigils, it shows how weak our spirits are. Weak. That's why you can't find outpourings. For outpourings to happen, men must press. It's like a wine press. They must press in the place of prayer until their spirit opens for God to fill them up. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, after they were beaten, the Bible said they returned to their own company and they lifted their voice in prayer. And in verse 30, he said the place where they were was shaking and they were filled with the spirit again. Every time there was an outpouring, there was prayer, worship, going to heaven. The new Jerusalem must have to appear, because this one we are doing here is social gathering. Church has become a social gathering. Even when you find people praying, it's because they have needs. The days when men come to God and say, use me for your glory. Lord, I surrender to you all. Those days are gone. And it reflects in the kind of songs we sing now. Go and listen to songs that were sung 30 years ago. It will show you the quality of Christianity they have or they had. And then compare it with the songs we sing now. You can never hear songs about the old rugged cross anymore. You can never hear songs about repentance. You can never hear songs about total surrender anymore. Songs are now either about dancing or about the God that loads us with bounties. That's all we know. And we hope to have an outpouring. No. If you want an outpouring in your life, in your family, in your organization, you must teach people again the way of the altar. Because when men kneel on the altar, the heavens open. Finally, outpourings are provoked when people make up their minds to advance God's kingdom and only God's kingdom. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. Not so that you prosper in business. Not so that you have food to eat. He said, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power, that you might be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the outermost part of the world. Not because when the outpouring comes, there won't be food. I told you already, the outpouring provokes abundance. But over and above our welfare, that abundance is meant for kingdom advancement. And so the people that will see an outpouring are the people who are sold out to God, willing to be used and willing to advance God's kingdom. When the outpouring happened in Acts chapter 2, in verse 14, immediately the Bible said, Peter and the 11 stood up and they began to advance the kingdom. That day, 3,000 was added to the church. It was about kingdom advancement. We have no testimony of an outpouring except as we begin to talk about the territories that were conquered for Jesus. Except as we begin to talk about the souls that were won for kingdom. I pray over somebody listening to me tonight. The grace and the power that engenders an outpouring, it rests upon you now. Can somebody bow her head now and pray in a moment? I want you to pray genuinely from your heart. Genuinely. In 2 minutes, I'm out of here. But when the outpouring comes, the wilderness will be turned to a fruitful field. The quality of our lives will be upgraded. And it will affect everyone. But before it comes, we must pay the price. We must pay the price. We must pay the price. And you tell the Lord, give me the grace. Give me the grace. I've heard what it takes for an outpouring. Give me the grace. Nobody is a master in this thing. We are all being helped at different levels. Can you ask for the help of God? Can you ask for help? Can you ask for help? There are prayers that are superior to, Lord, help my children. When the outpouring comes upon you, your children's destiny will already be secured. Because trust me, you can't pray all the prayers for your children. All you need to do is to pull down the glory. I'm standing here today because my mother prayed me into this. But the way she did it was to be sold out to God. She pulled down the glory. So even when I violated her advice and went my own way, I couldn't go too far. I couldn't go too far. I walked into a nightclub when I heard the wages of sin is death. My mom was no longer there. But the spirit she summoned followed me everywhere I went to. And even when I chose the path of rebellion, it was impossible for me to be there. She wooed me out of it by the spirit. The same way Samuel was committed to God. That's the power of the outpouring. There are prayers that are bigger than, God, give me what to eat. God, bless my children. No, summon the spirit. Even what you can't pray, God will begin to do. Some of you, God will visit you afresh tonight. There'll be a touch. Mariva Hakiza. Zebrato Vrasha Davalis. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost for another 5 minutes? Rakibando Sebrakina Paradak. Can you pray for this grace? There are different graces in the spirit. There's a grace to give. There's a grace to pray for the sick. But there is a grace to bring God down. Can you pray for this grace? Barrecado Savatela Berana Sadida Kaya Jelalalis Zaranda Karostia. That the heavens over you may break open. Let the Spirit stand before you like a pillar, that you can say you stand before God's presence. Marevae. Can we pray from our hearts? Mareva elamanda rabiga para barakondo zodo deva zete ke paro da baradina sanda. Rakibanda predegizo rakapatona sategapayas zatidagapata kabina barada zetetete yanabadoska bratonza vraktegila. Let your womb in the spirit be activated. Jakiba rabada zetegebaya paradina zanta. For a fresh baptism, the grace to stand. Bererato Sategavi Baraya Tenalia Tadak. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you glory. Please hear me. Remember, they say when the Spirit is poured upon our flesh, he said, number one, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. So the first set of people that will be affected are your children. It didn't stop there. He said, your old men shall dream dreams. The old are supposed to be the handicapped people, the helpless people. So this operation is sensitive. Your children are the unwise, those requiring direction, those that should be your headache. He said they are the first point of reference. And then he said the old men who are supposed to be liabilities, he said they are the second point of reference. I pray over you tonight. Everything that is a concern to you, because of this window the Lord has opened, I decree that those concerns are turned around. Some of you are intercessors here. You have been waiting on the Lord for many years. And so for you who are intercessors here, at least there are about three of you here that God will put a fresh fire upon you, because he wants to strengthen your hand, that you may be able to transfer what you carry to another generation. And so every one of you here that God wants to bring a new baptism, in the name of Jesus, now as I speak, let the fire of God come upon that one. Let the hand of God become strong upon you. And let that grace that you caught many years ago, that is about to be weighed, come alive in the spirit. There's a fire.
Lion of Judah.
Telete caparato. Shate capate. Berakata, berakata. Tetetale, tetetale. Take that fresh baptism. Verano Frateke, I cause your altars to come alive. I release a fresh fire upon you, a new baptism.
Yeshua, Amasia, Lion of Judah, Adonai.
You were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.